Hello, Symphony. Today's passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For today's devotional, I'll be focusing on verses 17 to 34, but let's read on from verse 1. Chapter 11. Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as a woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For her hair is given to her for a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches of God. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Amen. As we continue in on Paul's letter to the Corinth church, we see a strong rebuke against them for division and factions among the church, especially being made known through communion. For some context, the Corinthians came from the pagan culture where they had these big, extravagant banquets to honor their pagan god. These Corinthian Christians were completely missing the point of communion and were each going ahead doing what they wanted to do. Some would go ahead of others and eat. Others would even get drunk. Some wouldn't even be able to eat anything and would go home hungry. There were clear divisions amongst the Corinthians, and it was also likely highlighting their class and socioeconomic disparities. He calls them out for humiliating those who have nothing and for despising the church. Paul reminds them what true communion is, as taught by Jesus himself. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He then in the same way took the cup and said, "This is a cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In verse 27, Paul warns that whoever takes communion in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So what does that mean? He instructs us to then examine ourselves, to discern the body first before eating the bread and drinking the cup. Now, I don't think any of us are necessarily scooping up handfuls of communion bread to get full, but the same heart and call applies for us today. We may not be having feasts in lieu of communion, but our hearts may be reflecting that same division, distraction, and detraction that the Corinthians were exhibiting. So what does it mean to examine yourself and to discern the body? Well, number one, it means to remember what Christ has done. Take time to remember what Christ has done on the cross to forgive you of your sins. Are there any ways you have been living in sin? Is there any area you feel led to repent of? Cast them on the cross today. Jesus paid it all for you. Number two, proclaim the new covenant of Jesus' blood. Are there ways that you are living in the old covenant? Receive the fullness of Jesus and resolve to live out your life, new covenant life, in holy obedience to Him. This is a spiritual meal to remember Jesus, to proclaim His death until His sweet return. The next time we will take communion together will be the first week of August, but we can begin by examining our own hearts and remember Jesus today. Just some songs that, for myself, have been a real encouragement and reminder for me what communion is has been the song Remembrance by Hillsong and also the song Mercy by Matt Redman. And so perhaps you can use those songs today to stir up your heart as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blood and your body, for through your sacrifice you gave us new life. Help us to never forget the magnitude of the cross. And as we prepare our hearts, Lord, I pray that you would continue to open up our spiritual eyes and our hearts to know and love you more. May we come with postured hearts that recognize our desperate need of you. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.